Hey, what up, everybody? This is Sketchbook Audio, brought to you by your host here, Ryan Sketch. How's everyone doing today? That is one of my favorite songs of all time, Foo Fighters, My Hero. It's actually a little known fact. I play guitar. That was one of the first songs I ever learned how to play on the guitar. Killer band. The funny thing is I have never actually seen them live. So I need to fix that. Hey, we got some great stuff to talk about today. And I'm really shocked and surprised that I was ever going to say this, but I'm in love with a micro car. What car am I talking about specifically? Well, this is a car coming to you from one of my favorite automakers. They are French. And first, before I even tell you what the car it is, I think I've mentioned it before, but the French have a keen sense of design, more specifically aesthetic. And the thing that makes Citroën and Peugeot so remarkable is that they don't give a flaming rat's ass. I can't go too far beyond that, but they don't give a flaming rat's ass about who. Their design is just so far out there. As far as American design goes, we are so far behind European styling, and that goes the same for fashion and automobile design, and probably go as far as to say music. Look at our history. Before any bands really became big and popular in the United States for rock and pop, we had foreigners coming over here, and I mean that in the best way possible, but we had an onslaught of British musicians coming over here and essentially stealing the show. We had the Beatles, first and foremost, Led Zeppelin, Queen, the list goes on, and David Bowie. We could talk forever about music and which British people came over here and stole the show. That's fine by me. I love the British culture. I also love their car design, theory and language. But the French really steal my heart when it comes to design, aesthetic, creativity, and just breaking the mold. You can't really find another car company that makes cars quite like the French. Toyota tries, in a way. And funny thing is, a couple Toyota cars share their platform with certain French cars. I believe the Yaris and a couple other ones that are for Japan only, or at least Europe only. Well, I'm sorry, Europe and Japan. They share platforms and they share bodies. In fact, the Suzuki, what is it, the Swift and the, what was it, the SX4 is based off of Fiat, I believe, which is also Suzuki, which was also a Citroën or a Peugeot, one of the two. They all used it, and that just seems to be the way that they go about using compact cars like, or subcompact cars like that. In fact, one could really call them microcars. Anyways, to the point, Citroën just came out with a fancy, adorable little futuristic city car, and it's called the Ami One. And if there's anybody that's French out there listening, please correct me on my pronunciation, but AMI sounds pretty much like phonetically it would be Ami. I'm thinking like Amo, like Te Amo, Te Amo, my love. And I don't know, but I'm so captivated by this tiny little guy. It's adorable. Go on autoblog.com, take a look at it. Tell me what you think, because at first glance, you see a micro car, no bigger than the Toyota IQ or the Smart Car. And then, you know, of course, there's a bunch of other French cars that, or European cars in general, that were about this size. It's definitely smaller than a Mini Cooper, and it's certainly smaller than a Fiat 500. So what do you have? You have a super tiny car, but where does it really take the reins and make it a promising, functional, utilitarian vehicle that is practical really anywhere? I don't know what the power specs are. It doesn't seem to say much. It does say that it's limited to less than 28 miles per hour, weighs only 937 pounds, and is 59 inches tall and wide. That's interesting. It's as tall as it is wide. They have a clever little video that they showed on Twitter. It's hashtag AMI1Concept, and their tagline is Born Clever. When you look at this car, first of all, you know it's a city car. Second of all, it's diminutive in its size. However, it really nails the head of the hammer, or the head of the nail with the hammer, with the way that it's so clever in its design, and I love it. I love it. There's a little backpack storage, and I'm sure you could put a smaller suitcase in there. Your screen, your HMI, your user interface, everything is just right inside the steering wheel. There's a trick dial to the right of the steering column, and that basically controls your drive mode as well as, I'm guessing, it looks like volume. There's a plus and a minus. So I don't know if that's a gear shift or what, but and then on top of the steering column is another screen, which I'm guessing is basically like your tach and speedometer. In the steering wheel is probably what is the true media interface or your infotainment system. Beyond that, you have just a bunch of other clever ways of doing both the seats, straps, cargo compartment areas, the way the seats move. It's a fun little car, and I love the taillights too. The taillights and the headlights are three-dimensional. They are also what look like mirrors, cameras, and that, because there's no side mirrors, so I'm assuming these are cameras. And then they merge into the center where there's the Citroën logo, which looks like two Star Trek logos on top of one another. And if anybody wants to argue what that looks like, then please, by all means. I don't know what it means. I would love to know the meaning behind the badge or the logo. In fact, it's actually a great topic that we should get to in the next episode. Badge identification, what they mean, the history behind them, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to pick like 10 logos, and I'm going to post them up on Sketchbook Audio, Sketchbook_audio on Instagram. You guys can take a look at it. And tell me what you think each one means. I'll have the answers. Well, I'll tell you what. You post what you think it is. I'm going to post the history. If you cheat and you go on Google and you copy and paste, I'm going to know because it's exactly what I'm going to do. So don't do it. Just tell me what you think it is. I thought this Citroën logo was two Star Trek signs. Tell me I'm wrong. Also, tell me that Girl Scout cookies suck. Because I will fight you. I am eating, I don't even know what it's called. Maybe this one's a Tagalog, whatever it's called. It's got peanut butter and chocolate. It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup, but it's better. Oh, so good. Anyways, back to this cute little city car. Do you think it would do well in the United States? I don't. However, Autoblog wishes to say otherwise. Not necessarily about this car, because, of course, Citroën doesn't exist in the United States yet. But there is a Chinese car company that is trying to make its way into the United States, and its first vehicle coming to the States is this another tiny little city car that's all electric. And I'm trying to find where it is. I saw it in the news this morning. Clearly, I can't see it. I am a liar. It is no longer here. Why is it no longer here? Anyways, it's another little city car. It's coming to the United States, and its stock just skyrocketed the minute they announced that they were coming to the United States. That's great. For me, I love city cars, and I love, you know, trying to make things green as possible around here. But that's the fiance calling. You might have to answer that in a wee bit. I'll get back to her shortly. But anyways, I can't find this freaking car. This is irritating. I do you ever go on a website and you see one thing and then you go back on it again and it's no longer there, and then you just look like an idiot like I do right now? Yeah, I can't find it. So anywho, there's another city car coming, and eventually we're gonna have to follow the same mindset that the Chinese, Japanese, and even Europeans have followed, because we're gonna get too crowded with all these big trucks. And for the most part, big trucks and SUVs don't get great gas mileage. You can argue and say that, oh, they get better gas mileage than they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Absolutely. Back then, 20 years ago, cars had like no emissions check. You know, the EPA eventually kicked in what, the 80s? So everything went small cylinder, all your big V8s, bye-bye, unless it was in a truck. And you officially had CAFE standards and the EPA stepping in to say, hey, we're going to try to monitor you guys and get better fuel economy out of you. So in the meantime, get rid of your V8s and your V6s and say hello to 4 cylinders and 3 cylinders. So we did. And even then, gas mileage sucked. Better for some of those 4 cylinders because they didn't have catalytic converters and all the other things that muffle the sound of cars and do all these other fancy wizardry things that I'm not really big into the know-how of engines and how they work, but I know that they work and I know what they do. So, you know, we're going to eventually end up in that same situation. And I think we're going to start to see a lot more of these cars. The question is, how do you get people to really appreciate them when all we want are big SUVs? We just keep buying bigger and bigger vehicles. Look, Kia just came out with a full-size 3-row vehicle, the Telluride. Great vehicle, by the way. But did you ever expect that 10, 15 years ago? Absolutely not. Genesis is coming out with, you know, I know it's a child company to Hyundai, but they're going to come out with a full-size flagship SUV. It will probably be great, but we just keep getting bigger. So when's it going to stop? I don't know. Probably when gas prices skyrocket to $5 again, like they did back in 2000. What was that? 7, 8, 9. True story. In 2007, I was about to get my first car. I graduated college, and as kind of a gift, my parents were going to help me get a car. I ended up with the Dodge Caliber RT, but I had 3 cars in mind. A base Wrangler, it was stripped. It was that, it was like green that they had, not emergency green. It was not DEFCON green. It was that weird green that was kind of like rabbit poop. I liked it. I thought it was a great color. Recon green. So it was that color. And then an electric blue Dodge Nitro SXT with a stick shift. Yes, they had a Nitro with a stick shift, and it was freaking awesome. Based off of essentially the same platform as the Liberty and the Wrangler at that time. So it made sense to have a 6-speed manual because the Wrangler did. But looking at all these vehicles, oh, and there was a Dodge Dakota, maybe the TRX. I don't remember if the TRX was out at the time, but there was these vehicles, and I'm looking at them, and I'm looking from a practicality standpoint because I drove a lot, I carried a lot of stuff, I was always moving, so I wanted the space, the cargo capacity, the ability to haul stuff. And when it came down to it, the gas was $4.89 at the time, $4.89, and I could not afford the gas on, first of all, any car that took premium fuel. So that I got rid of any V8s or V6s and turbocharged vehicles. So ultimately I was left with a Dodge Caliber. I love that car. I still got 36, 38 miles to the gallon with a little modifications, but you know, that's what's going to happen. I think eventually we're riding in a nice smooth wave right now where, you know, people can buy the bigger SUVs and not have to worry about the fuel economy. For one, the gas mileage is better than it was 10 years ago. So the people who are buying those bigger vehicles were probably thinking about those times when they were, you know, expensive gas and thinking, oh, no, it's great. Now's a great time to do it. But like I said, we're going to start to see more of these small cars eventually, whether it's here in the United States or around the world. And I give props to Citroën for coming out with something that is really functional, is a really creative packaging. And one of the things I love about this car, and they don't show it in this in any of these pictures here on Autoblog, but the seats actually have a little strap. And in one of the renderings I saw on Instagram, one of the initial sketches, that seat strap was actually for a cell phone. I thought that was pretty cool. It doesn't really prevent it from sliding anywhere, which is interesting, but I'm guessing it's a pretty tight draw, so it's not going to go too far. Anyways, take a look at it on Autoblog or check out sketchbook_audio and tell me what you think, because I like it. I think it's fun, and I love the colors too. The next thing I wanted to get you guys in the know of, and I want to hear some opinions on this one because it breaks my heart, even though I never had one, but the Ford Focus ST. It is not coming to the United States. 2020 or 2019 model, whatever model it is, it's not coming to the United States. And that pisses me off. Why? For one, it's another hot hatch we won't have here in the United States because Americans don't like hatchbacks, which is ironic because every car that they're buying right now is just a hatchback that's been lifted. And, you know, the ST is a competent, competitive vehicle, and I liked it. As another alternative to the Civic or SI, we'll say, kind of close to a Type R, but not quite. But the new ST looks awesome. I love it. The Europeans did a great job in designing this for Ford. This was designed out of Ford Germany. It will be built in Germany, I do believe, and we will not be getting it here in the United States. So tell me your thoughts. Do you wish it was coming to the United States? Are you happy it's gone? You don't have to listen to a bunch of faux MoCo kids telling you how sweet their Focus ST is. I don't know. I get that all the time because I work with a lot of guys who have Ford Focus STs, and they seem to like it. And you can do some pretty crazy things to them. So from a tuner perspective, it's a good car to have. And just from a visual standpoint, this new ST looks great. And I'm really sad that it's not coming here. I'm also kind of sad, this is one of those design things, but it will not have a center exhaust. Why? Because they said they wanted to leave room for a trailer hitch. Really? Really, Ford? A trailer hitch? It's like somebody towing anything with a Chevy Camaro or Challenger. And I just don't get it. He had a great design as Focus, which no pun intended, on the exhaust, and you decide to get rid of it because you think people will be towing stuff with this car. Somebody find me one picture of somebody using their Ford Focus to tow anything, and do not send me a picture of the wagon that's from Europe because I'm sure there's people who tow stuff with that. It's a different story. This is a performance hot hatch. It should not be towing anything, other than maybe one of those tiny little trailers to haul an extra set of tires. Other than that, no. Ford should have put the exhaust in the center. I cannot wait for the first aftermarket company to come out with their version of a central exhaust, because I think it'll look pretty badass, especially on this car. The diffuser is really well integrated into the rear fascia, and even though it does have side exhausts, you know, they're flanking the diffuser, it's not a true side exhaust. I don't think they're coming out before or after the tires, the rear tires, but, you know, they're pushed off to the side and it looks nice. It's a good setup for dual exhaust. And, I think it's a very well designed vehicle. It's just not coming to the States, and that makes me cry. We're coming up on 19 minutes and 30 seconds here. I want to run down a couple more things that are coming out. Geneva is going to be a hot show. Guys, I don't know if you know anything about the Geneva Auto Show, but basically it's a big tease of all these vehicles us people across the pond will never, ever see, and that sucks. However, one vehicle that I think we will see, and I cannot wait, is the Alfa Romeo. Well, let's put it this way. They have four cars that could potentially be shown at this show. You've got the return of the GTV, which is basically a two-door Giulia. Plug-in versions of that, hybrid versions of that, and the Giulia. Plug-in and hybrid versions of the Stelvio. Something to potentially replace the Giulietta. So just imagine like Buick Encore size, I guess, or Jeep Compass. I think originally this new vehicle was supposed to be based off the Compass, and then they decided to go a different route. But we will have a vehicle that's smaller than the Stelvio, and look forward to see a plug-in version or a hybrid version or maybe even a performance version. Could you imagine another Quadrifoglio coming here to the United States that's actually attainable by the average male my age? That would be fantastic. I'm not saying anything specific here, Alfa Romeo, but if you're listening, since you're not going to, well, FCA in general, since you're not going to SRT the Compass, I would love to see a Quadrifoglio. You know, they have a Quadrifoglio Giulietta, and they had a Quadrifoglio Mio, or a Mito. So why not do a Quadrifoglio, something compact, and bring it over here to the United States, and we'll see how it goes. Interestingly enough, Ford, since they got rid of the Focus here in the United States, in fact, if you know anything about that story, they were going to bring over the Ford Focus Active, which looked like a very promising car, especially if they were to offer all-wheel drive, and then it would be a direct competitor to the Subaru Crosstrek, which it desperately needed a competitor because the Crosstrek is a great car. I know I'm going off on a tangent here. The Crosstrek is a great car. It's slow, and that goes the same with the Forester. It's a great-looking car. It's functional. It handles well. It'll last forever, but it is so slow. I drove both of them, and I didn't buy either of them because they were so slow. So if you're in the market for a Subaru, all the power to you. You should get it, especially if you're not looking for speed. If you're trying to go under the radar, get one of those. But if you're not, unfortunately, we're only left with what appears to be a Volkswagen Golf GTI, the R, or what else is compact that's sporty. Kia got rid of their Forte hatchback with the Forte 5. God, can somebody else name a compact hatch that we have here in the United States that's fast? Well, I got my Abarth, and they're still apparently making Abarths here for the United States, so that's good. But it's not as big as I need it to be. I still have my Abarth, and that's fine. It's going to be my little toy car, and it sits in the garage, and I take it out in the summer and shine it up and take it to shows. So, but anyways, back to my original point. Alfa Romeo, please, 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 if you're listening to anybody, be it me, because I really, really want a compact crossover that's fast and Italian. I'll deal with the quirks on my own terms. You know, that side note, people said that Land Rovers would have quirks and problems. I'm 99,000 miles into my Range Rover Evoque, which, by the way, I got it with 80,000 miles. And yes, I've driven 19,000 miles since I bought it December 26th. I know that's horrendous, but it is what it is. No problems. Not a single one. I changed the spark plugs. I changed the oil. I put in a new strut tower brace. Put in a K&N filter. And changed some hosings. About to do transmission fluid here soon. There was one rusted component underneath the car that nobody will ever see, just me, because I actually go under my car. And that was the gas tank shield. So I replaced that with one that I actually primed and painted with Rhino Liner. So might add a little bit of weight, but who cares? It's not rusted and it's brand spanking new. Anyways, back to topics on hand. Just to Geneva in general. Geneva happens, I think, March 6th, and we are going to see a lot of cool, really cool cars. Another one that I'm really excited to see is, and this is interesting because I haven't seen anything new about these two cars. Sadly, it will be the last of the one, but you know, we'll see what happens to the other. The SLC from Mercedes as well as the SL will be coming out with new-ish models at the Geneva Auto Show. And unfortunately for the SLC, That's it. It's gone. However, on a side note, you know, on a plus side to that, the SLC Final Edition is bright frigging yellow. And Autoblog has a little side note here that says Mercedes should really do bright colors more often. Absolutely. That's another point. At 25 minutes here, I just wanted to quickly say bright colors on sports cars are awesome. And to all of you who are buying just black and white, screw you. And I know there's a bright white and there's blacks that, you know, brilliant black. So I guess it's essentially the same. I love color and I love cars that do color well. Porsche Macan in that new, whatever the hell it's going to be called, Bahama Breeze Blue Teal. It's like a teal color. I think it's awesome. I think it's sexy. And it looks great on that car. Porsches in general look great in bright, ostentatious colors. So do Lamborghinis. I think Alfa Romeos look great in the five different reds that Alfa Romeo offers. But Mercedes has really crazy colors too. So does Lexus, actually. Look at the LFA. The LFA came in yellow, a bright yellow, bright orange. I think there was even like a purplish color. That new, what is it, the LFC or something? That came in that blue that wasn't really a blue. That's another topic we need to talk about next time. The crazy way automakers come up with certain paints. Because that blue, which is called like Morpheus Blue or something, named after the butterfly of the same name, it's not blue. I know you're going to call me crazy. It looks blue, right? Pretty sure if you color selected it and then you matched it up with a similar color that says blue, it's going to be blue. I'm going to get into that next time. Running out of time here, but, that is an interesting topic because paint, color in general, is the first thing we see on a car. And that's generally one of the things that really attracts us to buying a car in the first place is, do you have it in this color? And in just contrary to that, dealers, salespeople will try to sell you a car and say, are you willing to go colorblind for this car, which is puke brown? I hope not. I hope you don't. But they'll do that just to save you a couple thousand dollars. Don't do that. Listen, if you want a color that's so freaking crazy, just order it. And if you can't order it, have them go find you one. And if you can't find one, either, I don't know, don't buy the car or just go get it wrapped or plasti-dipped. You can do either. And tell the salesman to shove it up their butt because you want what you want and you're not going to settle for anything less. That's my two cents. Real quick, about the Ford Focus going bye-bye, this was interesting. I proposed this a long time ago, but it just so happens that the new Ford Escape is going to ride on the new platform that is underpinning the Ford Focus. And it looks exactly like a Ford Focus. It just looks lifted. It looks a little bit taller and... I think it's the same size, length and width-wise, but it posed an interesting question. If you're not going to sell the Focus here, then you might as well ST every SUV that you have. They already did the Explorer. They already did the Edge. Now, give us an EcoSport ST, or because let's put it this way. EcoSport is slow, stupid slow, and it's not the most attractive-looking car. It's functional. It's kind of fun on the inside. It's got a lot of practicality, but it needs an ST model if you wanted to attract me. And you want to bring people that were Focus ST buyers, right? So, and then do an Escape. The Escape is about as mundane as it gets. So putting an ST badge on it could help it. It's definitely got a lot of horsepower with the turbo. Anyways, Anchor is telling me I have 30 seconds left. Listen, get your sketchbook out, start sketching. My cast is off, so I've been sketching like crazy. I'm going to start posting some of my sketches up on Instagram. I actually started doing motorcycles, and I'll explain to you guys why I started drawing motorcycles in the next episode. But be good to each other. If you're living in Michigan, watch out for the freezing rain tonight. and be safe. And we will talk to you guys on the next episode of Sketchbook Audio.